Welcome to the Haunted as Hell podcast. I'm your host, writer and comedian Emily Winter. I'm super excited about this week's guest. He's lived in a haunted house. He's seen a ghost. He's died. He's really got everything, and I can't wait for you to listen. But actually, I can wait for just a second because I just wanted to remind you that if you are in the Milwaukee area, my husband, Chris Caligero, and I are going to be in Waukesha on Thursday night. That is Thursday the 19th. I'm going to open for him. He's running his album hour that he's going to record October 27th in New York City. So if you're in New York, why did I say New York? Anyway, if you're in New York, it's actually Brooklyn. If you're in Brooklyn, he's going to be at the Jalopy Theater and I will be emceeing the event. It's going to be so much fun on October 27th and October 19th for the dry run before he records. So October 27th is a Friday. You can get tickets at jalopytheater.org. You can get tickets for the Thursday at Maddie's Bar in Waukesha on Eventbrite by Googling a Thursday Night Live, Chris Caligero, or just show up to Maddie's Bar. Yeah, I think you can just show up. I think it's pretty chill. Anyway, okay, great. I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Have a great week. Today on the podcast, I have improviser Mark Ternis. Hello, welcome.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you.
Meeting for the first time in your
Airbnb. In person. This is wonderful. I so rarely get to do these. And so you are a Madison improviser.
I am.
And with ghost stories, and I'm so excited. So are they Madison hauntings?
They are not Madison hauntings.
That's okay.
In fact, I have not encountered a ghost here in Madison.
Wow.
That I know of. I mean, like, nobody's come up and said, like, hey, by the way, I'm a ghost. See you later.
So we thought that maybe this apartment is a little haunted.
I'm not getting the vibe.
Okay, good.
I'm getting more of, like, the hauntings of, like, 1,000 dry humps in, like, probably the back room. Because I'm, like, coming up here, and this is totally kicking me back to the 90s college days when I used to come up here to visit.
Because it is an old school Madison Lake house. It's not, like, a new fancy thing. Yeah, okay, well, that's good, because we were freaking ourselves out, and then, like, last night we got high, and then we were like, okay, really high now. We're going to ask the ghost permission to stay here. We're going to ask them to leave. So maybe they left last night, or maybe they were never here.
If a ghost does come up to me before I leave, I will let you know.
Thank you. Okay.
Service I provide.
So, yeah, so do you have a special gift?
I don't have a special, like, I'm not psychic or anything.
Right.
If you're talking about, like,
yeah,
did I bring wine? I did not do that either. But, like, it started with parental ghost stories. So, apparently, my mom was a witch in the 70s. So, my mom messed around with all sorts of cult things because she was in high school at the time. And that's, like, a thing that people did.
Where'd you grow up?
She grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
Which is where I'm from originally.
Yeah, you had the me accent. I'm also from Chicago.
Improviser background. Anyway, I took my first improv class at the Annoyance downtown in Chicago, which used to be across from the Metro. People who are familiar with downtown will know that the Metro is super awesome, and in Wrigleyville, and Wrigleyville is super awesome. But what people didn't know was that the Annoyance was across the street, which is why they are no longer across the street Metro.
I was going to say the Metro still stands, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
as far as I know.
Concerts there.
I don't want to say I'm too old for concerts, but I'm too old for going to the Metro for concerts.
Yeah. You want your body to get thrown around. Okay.
And the bands I used to see were
Punk and Scott.
Embarrassing admission. Probably more embarrassing than any of the ghost stories or witchery that I'll talk about. I used to be really big into ska, so I would go and see ska shows there. But they, for whatever reason, 90s Chicago ska had, like, just shitty punk bands opening for lighthearted ska bands. So, like, I saw the Aquabats there twice, and one of the groups that opened for them was the Vandals, and this has nothing to do with ghosts.
Well, no, it's fine. I have an anecdote that also has, but I was recently, so I'm a TV writer on strike, and I write for a kids show, and these kids, that they came out to support us. This was before the actors were on strike as well, and the kids on the show were like, what does that sign mean? That picket sign, it says SKA is not dead. And I was like, oh,
whoa,
no. And I had to explain to them what ska was, and I felt so old. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. My mom was from Chicago, so she did Chicago shit, and then she also did witch shit. The witch shit is the stuff where if something started following her, it was probably back then. They used to mess around with Ouija boards, and I'm buying the whole Ouija board thing.
Mm.
But at the same time, like, there were things she described, like the Ouija board throwing itself across the room when they asked it questions. And then she had somebody in that same group who apparently had, like, a heater burn on the wall. You know, like, how you have those old-school heater burns. And so they clean it off, and they clean it off, and it would always take the shape of this guy after the Ouija board launched itself across. She could tell this much better. However...
And you still don't believe in Ouija boards after all hearing all that?
So I've never seen any Ouija board shit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you
done it before?
No. Mostly because of my mom saying, yeah, we were doing it, and the Ouija board, we asked it a question, and it threw itself across the room. And I've seen The Exorcist. So,
yeah.
Like, I know maybe if I'm already seeing ghost things, not to poke the bear, as it were. Anyway, so fast forward. My parents get married. They move to the BFE in Missouri, and like all sorts of weird shit happens. They've seen ball lightning twice, which isn't supposed to even exist.
What's ball lightning and what's BFE?
Bumfuck Egypt.
Okay.
So it's basically just a way of saying
middle of nowhere.
We live like an hour and a half northeast, I'd like to say, of Jefferson City. So
okay.
Like our nearest neighbor was a 2 mile walk down the
gosh.
So like I was too young to remember anything from back then. But they're like, oh yeah, we used to get these storms and we had this place called the Cripple Creek. And it was like, oh wow. Great. Anyway, so I got killed there. I got ran over by a truck when I was 3. And I was just messing around. It was my dad's truck, so my dad was not in the car. This is, I guess, its own story, but the TLDR. My parents were talking to our down-the-road neighbor. They were parked on a hill. They did not have the emergency brake on. Turn your emergency brake on when you park on a hill.
Whoa.
And I pulled up and, like, did something to, you know, like, pulled up through one of the handles on the steering wheel and switched it into neutral or something, fell under the wheel, and then was, like, dead for a full 2 minutes. My mom shook me back to life and,
whoa,
you know, didn't take me to the hospital. So I still have some fun times when the weather gets weird.
Oh, what happens to you when the weather gets weird?
My sternum hurts. So
is that like 50 degrees and wet out?
It's usually humidity based.
Okay. Yeah.
Or could be ghosts that have less humidity.
I used to be a softball pitcher, and sometimes when it's like in the 50s and like humid, I get wet out. Yeah, I get. Anyway, I know what you mean. Pains in my arms.
It's not great. I can't sleep on my chest for large periods of time without padding.
Wow.
And anyway, so I attribute anything that happened to me in my younger life that was weird to like, okay, I touched the etheric plane briefly and
yes,
then came back. So, fast forwarding again, we moved around a bunch because my parents didn't, you know, as you could tell, they didn't take me to the hospital after I got ran over by the truck, so they weren't necessarily the most responsible people. It's probably coming into focus why I don't talk to them on a frequent basis. My dad's dead, so there's a good reason I don't talk to him.
Yeah, if you talk to him every day, that would actually be very cool.
It would be
very
strange. It's been 15 years.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of crazy. I didn't even think about it until, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, moved around a lot. We moved into this place with my grandmother, and this is where the weird stuff happens. So, found out over the course of living there that it was probably haunted, but nothing ever happened to me directly for a while. So,
wait, was your grandma back in Chicago?
This is in the northern Chicago suburbs.
Okay.
So she bought a place, her husband at the time bought a place. He died, not under mysterious circumstances. He was an old dude.
Okay.
It happens. How she got somebody to marry her twice, I don't know. She was a piece of work. We called her La Bruja, which if you know your Spanish means the witch.
Yeah, that's great.
So we moved in there. I was like 6. My mom and dad got to know the neighbors because that's how things were. This was a while back in the days where people used to not lock their doors and shit like that. Things that people said, but, you know, people still lock their doors. But the neighbors would describe, before the house was built, they'd hear kids playing outside in the middle of the night at like 2 in the morning. They'd get up and they'd look out and there'd be nobody there. It's like, that's weird.
Before the house was even built?
Before the house was even built.
So just this is a plot of land?
Just as a plot of land
that
apparently spectral children were attracted to.
Whoa.
So the house got built. My grandmother and grandfather bought the house. We really didn't see it until we moved in because they came to us because, you know, parents both had jobs. And then kids, which we were also a job. So we moved there. Probably took a while for anything to start happening, but I was probably about 9 or 10 when my sisters would start talking about, like, oh, yeah, I saw this little girl downstairs.
Are these sisters older or younger?
There you go. So I'm just a full category. I've got an older sister who is legit schizophrenic, like floating heads that tell her that she's worthless levels of schizophrenic. My younger sister is about 2 years younger than me. So I mentioned that when we moved in, I was about 6. She would have been about 4. And then the other one was like still crib age, like about 2-ish.
Okay.
It was about when my sister was probably about 5 or 6. So this wouldn't have been that long. It wasn't full 2 years that she was talking about. Like they had a room in a basement. It was basically curtained off section of the basement because we were living on my grandmother's good graces.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh yeah, I saw like a little girl down there. She never said her name or anything, but sometimes they would play.
And she wasn't afraid of her?
Apparently not.
Okay, cool.
And then, you know, over time, that could have been an imaginary friend, could have not been. There was nothing for a while. And then my sister was getting up closer to her teens and started seeing, like, there's a man in the garage. And my dad he's not anymore, because as discussed, he is deceased. He was an army man, so he had a collection of guns. And every time, like, oh, there's an intruder, rack the shotgun, let's go downstairs and see if anybody's dying today. So he'd go in, you know, look around, and be like, I didn't see anybody. So stuff started happening to everybody in the family except for me and my dad.
Well,
apparently the ghost had a girl thing or a female thing.
That's so common.
Yeah. So from there, this is where, like, my first experience happens. So I was probably somewhere about 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was around 12. She's about a year and a half older than me. And then my other sister would have been about 8 and then 6. And we had a family ritual of making Christmas cookies together. And, you know, the day before Christmas Eve, it was the 23rd every year. And it was hot because we're making cookies and we're all in one room. And, you know, I just described I had 3 sisters, but obviously 2 parents. We had my grandmother, who was probably perpetually watching Wheel of Fortune, because that's what she did. So she was in the other room. And then it was a 2-story house with a garage on the bottom. And so there was a landing coming up. And we had the door to the basement and the garage open so that the cold air would come up and not suck, because the kitchen was very warm. Anyway, we're sitting there making kolachkis and various other Chicago-style cookies.
Yeah.
We're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, this giant crow flies up from the basement. And we're like, what the crap? And it flies around the kitchen. And we had, like, this brass eagle perched over the door, perches on the eagle, looks at us, and, you know, like, somebody moves to go, like, shoo the crow out the front door. Obviously, it's the dead of winter, so everything's shut because it's a Midwestern winter.
Right.
And we move towards it. It flies into the living room. And my grandmother doesn't seem to notice because, you know, Pat Sajak's doing something hot. Yeah, no one knows. And then we, you know, proceed to spend about 20 minutes looking for the stupid bird, close the landing right away so that we can shoo it out the door because it's a giant bird in our house. And the bird never appears. So, like, we never find the bird again.
Oh, my gosh. That's really scary.
So, yeah, like,
not even on a supernatural level, just on, like, a little good.
Yeah, it's like, from a skeptical point or standpoint, I've seen enough stuff that, like, I'm skeptical, but, like, I know there's stuff that I don't quite get.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it could have flown into an air duct and died in the air duct, but at the same time, like, we also never smelled dead crow.
Mm-hmm. And crows are big.
Yeah, it was a particularly meaty crow. That was, like, the one time that me and my dad actually saw something in that house. And then, you
so
know,
your family, like, did everyone think that it was some kind of, like, paranormal experience right away? Or did you were just like, this is really weird?
Me and my dad were immediately skeptical. We're just like, oh, the bird flew out somewhere.
Yeah.
But all of my sisters were like, this is obviously something weird because none of the windows were open. We didn't open the door to shoo it out. And it, like, when we did open anything, we were trying to shoo out anything that we could find, but we couldn't find anything because
right.
the bird was just
And it didn't full
go
on the
gone.
Way that it got in. It flew the
no,
other
it
way.
It flew into the living room. So
okay.
the landing came up into
yeah.
the hallway between the kitchen, and there was a living room over here, and then bedrooms.
So somebody would have definitely seen if it went back downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Downward.
And we closed the landing right away so
right.
that we didn't have a bird flying around in the basement instead.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the sort of start of where things started going, not off the deep end, like,
yeah.
oh, God, everybody got murdered. It was more of, this is where things started getting a little bit more intense. So, like, the girl started appearing again.
And she's still a little girl?
Still a little girl. Unchanged.
Yeah.
But, like, at this point, we weren't talking about moving out because of the bird, but my parents were doing a little bit better financially, which really kind of sucks. Why? My grandfather had passed away, so, like, it was came into a windfall of selling their Chicago house. They were able to afford to buy an actual house and not live with La Bruja anymore. So we're talking about moving. I don't know if, like, the ghost heard and got pissed off, but, like, Lizzie, my youngest sister, said she would start shaking the bed at night.
The little girl would?
Yeah, the little girl.
She would wake up and there would be a girl shaking her
bed? There
would
be a little girl at the base of the bed just kind of shaking it. Like,
was she angry?
I don't know. Lizzie never really said that she looked angry, so I'm assuming that she wasn't. I always took it because, like, if any spectral thing is shaking my bed, I'm going to assume that
it's angry. Yeah.
But at the same time, like, she was afraid of it at that point. Like,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, we're playing blocks.
Yeah.
It's like, something is shaking my bed, and it woke me up, and that sucks. So, we move out. I'm like, this happens a few times. My sister sees something in the garage again. Always a guy behind the truck, ducking out. And it was always the same little girl. So, it wasn't like a host of little girls. So, I mentioned way back when, we were talking about the neighbors hearing, like, children
kids playing.
This was kids, so maybe the other people left. I don't know. So we move out, and we move across town, because God forbid we, you know, move away from the... We lived in... I don't know if you know where Round Lake is.
Mm-mm.
It's a far north suburb, about 15 minutes from Gurnee. And everybody knows where Gurnee is, because that's where Six Flags is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why it's always my point of reference.
And the outlets, right?
Yeah, the Gurnee Mills.
Mm-hmm.
It went up. Ugh, gross. I spent way too much time in there as an adolescent just because that's what my sister wanted to do. And so it's like, okay, I guess we'll go to Gurnee Mills.
Yeah.
We also got season passes to Great America for like 3 seasons for our birthdays. That was just like,
the gift.
Here's your gift. The gift is actually secretly to my parents because we're not home.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to pack you a lunch. You can eat it.
Goodbye.
We're going to drop you off.
And I don't want to see you for 10 hours.
Yeah, and we will come and pick you up at 8 p.m. sharp.
That's great.
Yeah, it worked out well enough for us.
Yeah.
But, so we move. And that first summer, obviously, you know, we're excited to have our new house. So we had family over. And so we had my aunt and her nieces over. And we didn't tell them anything about the house that they were going to be staying at, which was my grandmother's house. Mm. Not because it was like... These things didn't scar us profoundly in a way that we were like, we should probably warn little Jenny that, you know, there might be a ghost. So imagine our surprise when we start hearing my aunt and my nieces telling ghost stories about my grandmother's house.
Oh my gosh.
So a little girl was shaking Jenny's bed. And guess where Jenny was sleeping? She was sleeping downstairs in the same room, quote unquote, that my sister Lizzie had been sleeping in. And the little girl came to visit her and would shake her bed.
Oh, my gosh.
My aunt would hear, like, things dragging around all night. Which was weird. Because that's not something that any of us
had experienced.
Nobody saw the dude. But, mm-hmm. like, it was nice to have that sort of corroboration. Where
yes.
it's like, okay, Jenny heard it too. We didn't tell Jenny that this was happening.
Right.
So, obviously, something weird was going on. Bird didn't make a reappearance. They were only there for a week. After the little girl appeared to Jenny, Jenny was like, can I stay over at
your house?
Yeah, at Aunt Gail's house.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be that person.
So right.
She stayed with us, and then my aunt stayed over there, and she still heard dragging, and she's just like, okay.
Yeah.
But my grandmother did weird shit, so who knows?
Did you guys ever look up if any child had died there, or if there was a kid buried there.
at the time, I was, you know, 12, going on 13. I was just like, this is, I'm not going to go look at the microfiche.
Right. The internet was not really a thing. Yeah. Where you can just be like, tell me everything about this place that I'm in. Yeah.
And I was an early adopter. I probably should go back and look now and just say, like, did somebody actually die here? Have there been, so like, the guy who bought it from my grandmother when my grandmother moved into an old folks home. I don't know if it was an old folks home or assisted living, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
It, I think, is the same guy. Like, they did a bunch of stuff to the place. It's there. They don't put out signs that say, like, ghosts are here or anything like that. So I have no idea what's going on with it. But that's the sort of stuff that I grew up with.
Wow.
And then the thing that happened that I directly saw something really fucked up happened a couple years later.
Okay, so you're like a teenager at this point?
So I am about 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to be really weird, but I had a friend named Mark. And a friend named Mark. My name is Mark, for those who have forgotten. And then we had a friend named Chris. So we would...
Mark, and Chris.
Mm-hmm. And so this being the mid-90s, obviously, we were called Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch by everybody's parents.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
So Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch used to have sleepovers, like most 15-year-old kids do, pretty much all summer, at least twice a month. Because we'd just hang out and play GoldenEye and, you know, do things that teenage boys do, like smoke pot behind the garage.
Yeah.
Did those sorts of things. But one of the other things you do is you go out at night and you do random acts of chaos. So, you know, we weren't the pumpkin smashers because I was a firm believer in pumpkin carving back then. So it's like, I don't want to smash somebody else's shit. So we'd go to, like, old construction sites or new construction sites. As it happened, we went to this one, like, fortuitous night, to a new construction site. They were building a Super K, which is a very old-sounding sentence now. So the lot that they were building it on was just this whole lot of nothing in between one pre-existing shopping complex and another shopping complex, because that's how suburbs work. And so what we noticed there was this giant pile of dirt, and it had a nice little slope going up to the top of it. So part of this is a ghost story, and part of this is a kids are stupid story.
Oh, yeah. Well, they go hand in hand.
They do very much go hand in hand here. So it's this giant ramp of a thing, and we're like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to go up on the dirt pile and just do dirt pile shit? Because that's how teenage boys think. So we were like, yeah, it's a great idea. Let's go there after, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. We'll watch Troll 2 or whatever until it's off of showtime, and we'll go up there. So we did. And, you know, we get up to the top of this thing. We're like, wow, this thing is huge. We can see slightly further than, yeah, it really
we
wasn't that exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now we're on top of this dirt pile.
It's
about
20 feet up. And it's the dead of night. And there was not a whole lot of moonlight to be seen. And it was very rocky because, you know, they're pushing rocks and dirt up there. And with the dim light, what we thought was just a short little jump down to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, looked like it was about 1 foot down. So I get up to the edge, and I was often first to do things. I don't look like that now, but I was at the time. Get to the edge, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do a little cute bunny hop off the edge.
Yeah.
And I do, and, like, I feel like I'm falling for quite some time. It was a sheer drop, because the bulldozers are pushing the dirt up and packing it on the side, and then they push the dirt over the side and then pack it up, and what I didn't realize, is that, and I fell, and I landed on my feet with enough force for my knees to give out ever so slightly, me to bounce up off my butt, and at the time I was a twig. I weighed about 140 pounds soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, bounce, I'm like, that was lucky.
Yeah.
My friend was not as lucky. He's like, I'm not going to do a jump. I'm going to run off the edge because, and yeah, he sprained his ankle pretty badly.
Oh my God.
My friend, Mark, was sitting there smoking, watching us do this, and he didn't even laugh. He's just like smoking, and Chris almost falls off the ledge. We're like, do not do that.
This. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, and then he's on this little ledge at the edge, and he's trying to pull himself back, and the rocks are sort of giving away. So that's the dumb kid part of that story. The creepy part of that story is up at the top, next to that little ledge where Monkey was... Sorry. I just called him Monkey. That's what we called him.
I was wondering. You have to have nicknames for everybody when everyone has the same name.
He did a monkey impression. And this is Chris. So obviously he's the only one with a nickname.
Nickname is the one that...
I don't understand
that's so funny.
Why we did this. So it's Mark, 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 and Monkey. Anyway.
Marky Mark and the Monkey Bunch. Okay.
Oh, I didn't... God, that's Miss Comic Gold. She's got a nice-sized chair here. One of those that you put up at, like, a breakfast bar. There was a boulder that was probably about that tall, and probably about, if you sat this on its side, about that wide.
Mm-hmm.
So probably about a... God knows. If it was solid stone, which it wasn't, and we'll find out why so shortly, it would have probably weighed, 1,000 or more pounds.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, if it was solid dirt, it probably weighed at least 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting down there. Everybody's freaking out. I didn't smoke. I was the only one who didn't smoke at the time. We're sitting there.
So this is now everyone's
out.
Gotten down.
Everybody's down. Mark.
Smoking
Mark up at the top. It's like, you guys are fucking idiots. Walks back around because,
Yeah.
Monkey did wind up not falling to his death, but he did come down the cliff. We basically,
had to help him.
Caught him and helped him down the thing. So, he dropped a little bit, but because Mark and I were there, we were able to stop him. We're all having, a panic smoke, just kind of freaking out, and we're standing there. Probably, just talking. You're like, oh, okay, that wasn't too bad. I was like, well, we could have been a lot worse, blah, blah, blah. And then that giant boulder launches itself into the air, straight up, clear as day.
How far away from it was you?
We stayed by the sheer cliff face. And the cliff face was right next to that little part of the thing that Monkey, who I always call Monkey, so it's really weird for me to call him Chris. I'm just going to call him from Monkey from now on. Was standing next to. So, it looked like it could have fallen, but it launched itself up. And there was enough moonlight out that you could see it go up into the air. And it was easily 20 feet up into the air. Where it's somebody would have had to push this to roll it over the edge.
Yeah.
Fling it into the sky.
Right.
It lands on the cliff where Monkey was, that little
part
that was collapsing, and smashes into a bunch of rocks of reasonable size, but... not reasonable enough to kill us. So it's they come flying at us, and we're just I'm getting out of here. And we're all let's go home.
Whoa.
So, the geniuses that we are, and I mentioned that we've, had sleepovers every couple of weeks. The next sleepover, one of the Marks and I, not Smoking Mark, the one who was smug and douchey to us, we're going back. We're going to go back just before daylight, and we're just going to look around and make sure there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we came back, and we're messing around the dirt pile. You can see all the remnants of the little rock from a couple weeks ago.
Has a lot of construction been done in this time period? No.
Nope. It's Illinois. So,
I was kind of
with the pace of Illinois construction. So we're wandering back, and to set the scene as to where it is, we got comfortable with the dirt pile. The dirt pile was the closest construction artifact to the road. So probably a good couple minutes saunter into the construction site. Behind that was where they're digging out this foundation, where all the dirt is coming from. Behind that, by probably another, I'd like to say 50 to 100 feet, is just a wooded area that they hadn't cleared because there was no reason to. It's not part of the construction site. And there was a little hill going up to it. So we're comfortable with the dirt. We're like, nothing's going to kill us. We're walking around. We're fucking around in the construction site at this time. They poured some of the foundation cement. So we're like, we start walking up the hill, and then I see something. And what I saw, I could not describe as anything specific, except for the fact that it blocked out everything behind it.
Okay.
And it was not a small thing. It was I would say easily 7 feet tall, probably 7 to 8 feet tall.
Oh my God.
And about
chills.
2 or 3 people wide. and as I saw it, it was a switch flip, that flight or fight.
Fight, yeah.
And I froze. And at this point, it's about 5 in the morning. The sun's starting to come up, but it's not hitting the forest yet. And, I can see it. I look over at Mark. I can see that he can see it because he's frozen. But I want confirmation. So I say, do you see that? And he slowly nods.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, we should leave. And we hightail it out of there. At this, you know, like by the point we get closer to the road, we're like feeling comfortable in a way that we probably should not have, because that was definitely something. It's like we both saw it from different angles because we were coming up this hill at the same time. We throw a bunch of rocks back there because we're stupid kids.
Yeah,
and
you're just trying to
poke the bear. We hear splashing, and we're just like, okay, nothing's back there. But to this day, it is probably the most horrifying thing that I've ever seen. And there was some episode of something. There's a show called Monster, which if you haven't seen it, it's a PBS show on YouTube that just kind of goes over different monsters. And one of the monsters is like, it could be it.
What was it?
I don't remember.
What did you think it was at the time?
If anything, I was like, it was a forest spirit or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's protecting its forests. It didn't chase us because we weren't by its forest. It tried to warn us off with a rock.
Yeah.
And we came back, and it was like, okay, now it's time to assert my presence.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, like, if I were to guess, that's probably what it was. It did not feel like a ghost, because I know what ghosts feel like, because I've not seen ghosts, but I've been around ghostly things. And, like, following that, I had ghostly things happen more often. So, like, I would reach for a light. The light would turn itself on.
Whoa.
And this was for a few years afterwards, and I'm getting goosebumps because it's still so weird.
So this is just, like, you being a teenager still in Chicago suburbs, and, like, now weird things are happening.
Now, after this encounter, weird things are happening. So,
do you think, like, something stuck to you?
For a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it went away. Because if it was just the same light over and over again, that's a faulty switch. But
right.
This was, like, the bathroom, the basement. This mallard duck lamp that I had in my room would do it. And it's like, this is weird enough that it's probably, like, this is happening enough that it's not coincidental.
Right, right.
And then it culminated in, shortly after I graduated high school, I had an incident on a summer day. And this is the last major thing that I remember in terms of, like, something weird happening. Hi, buddy.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Oh, wow.
I
just went to your foot.
I attract dogs, because like I said, I'm a dog person. Dogs know. So I'm sitting there, I'm playing, and I remember this very clearly. I had not moved out of my parents' house yet. Just had graduated that summer. I'm playing XCOM Terror from the Deep, which, if people know what that is, you know exactly about when this was, because nobody played that after about 6 months of it coming out, because it came out too fast after the original XCOM.
Funny.
Back me up, people. So I'm playing it. My parents were out shopping. It was just a day like today. Relatively calm. No breeze. Hot enough that the air conditioning is on.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a slow 3 knock at the door. And I'm like, I'm going to pretend I'm not home.
Yeah.
I'm
do the teenager thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like another 10 seconds goes by. Fine. Coming. Yeah, get up.
Yeah.
Open the door. Nobody's there. I'm like, God damn it. And as I'm about to go close the door, we had a nice little porch set up with deck chairs.
Mm-hmm.
A chair, like one of the deck chairs from the far side of the deck, slowly starts moving over to in front of the door. So like, I say slowly, it's like somebody pushing with great effort to move the chair.
Right.
And it has to move about 2 feet to get in front of the door.
Oh,
it stops in front of the door. And I was like, I will take that for the warning that it is, and close the door and locked it away. And I have not had anything really happen since. And I would like it to remain that way.
What do you think? What do you think you got? What do you think? So there was some forest monster spirit thing. And then this stuff, like, do you think you took a piece of the forest guy with you, or what?
I don't know, or things were stalking me, and the reason I brought up all the stuff with my mom is my mom had stuff following her for a long time after she messed with stuff. So it was like, maybe I pushed a little
too hard,
but it also could have been related to, like, I was dead at one point in my life.
Right,
and
right.
Maybe something had been following me because all this stuff happened at my mom and dad, my grandmother's house, rather, when we were living with my mom and dad. So, I mean, like,
there's so much. Do you think that, did it feel, so the lights turning on is kind of nice. It's like, oh, thank you for doing the lights for me always. But then the knocking and the chair thing feels a little sinister.
I don't know what that was. And I still don't. And I've encountered haunted spaces since then where it's like, this is not for me. It's like, I'm going into a space. I know something is there. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've been on the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've been to a place that I did not know that was haunted. And I already told my embarrassing other stories about ska. And I also used to LARP as a teenager.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I know. I looked the part. And I'm fulfilling all of my roles. We used to play in a game in Chicago called One World by Night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a vampire-themed LARP. Again, I've already judged myself more than any of you can. We rented this place in Kenosha, Wisconsin, because
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, we used to rent schools at night, so like we did these, for whatever reason, Catholic schools were really fine with us renting out Chicago-area Catholic school spaces to play vampire games at.
That's so funny.
It's
did you
really,
ever rent out Marian Catholic?
I don't think so.
That's where I went to school.
Oh, that's crazy. But this was, late 90s. We rented this place in Kenosha called the Kemper Center.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't know at the time was that it's really haunted. And so I'm there, and I'm like, this place gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because this is like, you know, the most sterile sort of country clubs that people host their weddings in because their grandmothers had got married there. And it had that kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is a corporate rent-out space.
Yeah.
But, like, there were parts of it where it was just like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't know why, but I don't want to go there. And this is why I'm like, I know what it feels like when there are things there.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm like,
this
fine
place
here.
Isn't haunted.
This place is probably not haunted. I'm not getting that vibe.
Sweetheart, it's not haunted in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That being said, so one of the things you can do as a fake vampire is turn yourself invisible, because that's, you know, part of the game that we were playing. And you're like, let's go sneak up to this thing. And this gesture I'm making by crossing my arms is a way that you show that you've used your vampiric powers to turn
invisible.
I am so glad that I retained that information. And we're like, we'll sneak up to the spire and talk, you know, like talk about what we're going to do to the prince, because princes are the people who rule cities, to try and take power from this guy. And I was like, I would, out of game, this symbol means out of game, I'm speaking out of character, I'm not going out there. I don't know why, something's wrong. I found out later, looking at a Haunted Midwest site, and this was sometime in the mid-2000s, that like a bunch of people killed themselves by throwing themselves out of this clock tower spire thing. And there are pictures that people had taken where you can very clearly see ghosts in the windows. Like,
oh,
it's not
gosh.
A reflection. It's like, this is very clearly a person.
Oh, man.
And so I was like, okay, how many other places like this do I not know about?
Right.
This is cemetery that I always used to get creeped out by in Bull Valley, Bull Valley, Illinois. That I was like, I feel like I can sometimes see things as I'm driving by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you look that one up?
I did, and it is haunted.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I mean, I feel like cemeteries are pretty haunted.
It's a pretty low ball right there.
Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer if you're...
This cemetery might be haunted.
Right, right. Wow, so you have a little bit of a, like, you do have a gift in the end.
I don't want... The gift.
But it's good
to
know.
I would like to return it.
It's good to know, like, when you walk into a place, like, if there's some kind of yucky energy. I feel like that's a really cool
gift. Okay, no, you're right. That is a useful gift.
You could just be like, nope, and then look it up. Go to your favorite not haunted bar and look it up on your phone.
And my wife, it's such a bummer for my wife because she loves these haunted places. I'm like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
It's like there are all sorts of places downtown in Chicago. And I found out one of the ones that I almost stayed at was super haunted. Like, I think it was Billy Corrigan or somebody stayed in the haunted room and didn't know it was haunted and left in the middle of the night.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. Because that
if it scares Billy Corrigan, that's bad, man. Because he's kind of scary on his own.
He is kind of weird scary
as opposed to the
gross scary.
Wow, that's amazing. So you are just out and your wife is in on haunted stuff.
Uh-huh. And we went to L.A., I mentioned, and that's when we went on the Queen Mary, and I'm like, okay, there are parts of this place most of this place is fine.
Yeah.
But there are parts of this where it's just like, okay. It's like the engine room is supposedly haunted. I didn't get anything from the engine room.
Okay.
But like parts of the hotel, I was like, I might stay away from this room.
Okay.
If I were to stay here. And apparently you can stay there. And she wants to stay there if we ever go back. And I'm like,
you can do it.
You and your sister can stay here. And I will stay across the bay.
And the reason that you don't want to mess with this is because you've already been terrified by something. And
it wasn't even scary when it was happening. The forest spirit was scary.
Yeah.
And that was something that I hope I never see again. And it's the one thing in my life that I'm like, normally I'd be super skeptical, but I saw the thing that I needed to see to not be skeptical, at least about whatever that was.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want that, and I don't want things following me around, because I don't need any more trouble than I cause myself.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. And frankly, I don't know what the hell to think about a lot of this sort of stuff. So I'm glad in a way that I've had these things happen, but I'm glad that they have not happened again.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this has been amazing. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we do plugs and you talk about yourself?
No, I will. Oh, actually, I will say one cool thing. Look up Eastern Illinois University.
Okay.
There is a dorm ghost
who
actually protects its residents. So apparently somebody got raped and murdered there, and the ghost sticks around, and if you forget to lock your door, it will lock the door for you, to the point that people have to remind each other to take their key, because if they don't take their key, they're going to get locked out of their dorm room. It is a major problem.
That's
in
really
this one
sweet.
Dorm. And it's the coolest ghost I think I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks for doing your part, ghost.
Wow. Oh, I love that. That's such a beautiful thing.
I'll have to see if I can't find that actual story. So
I can put it up when we put up this episode.
I heard that directly from somebody who stayed in that dorm. And this happened to her a couple of times.
Amazing.
And it was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And
do you know when
this
started?
Oof. She would have probably stayed there in the early 2000s.
Okay.
I would guess, probably about 2000-ish.
Amazing.
And it was before that. And apparently the Love Library, where I went to my undergrad, also was haunted at Northern Illinois University.
Ah, the Law Library?
The Law Library.
Why? Because there's just all these regretful...
Again.
I don't know
what caused him to be there. but there were definitely some creepy stacks there, too. So, like I mentioned, that I can usually tell when there's something weird. There were definitely some parts that were weird.
And then when you looked it up, it confirmed.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's very selective. So good on you, selective ghosts.
You mean selective by, like,
in terms of who it'll be seen by.
Okay.
Or appear to.
Okay. Got it. Ooh, man. I love a haunted library. It's so, that's very fun.
Yeah. It's really neat.
Well, Mark, this has been wonderful. Tell everyone where they can find you on the internet and plug anything you would like to plug.
So you can look at my really terrible cartoons on Turnus Furnace on Instagram. T-U-R-N-E-S, Furnace, like the, thing that makes fire. You can come see me on stage at Monkey Business Institute in Madison if you feel like traveling. We probably still have some videos out there. Or if you want to look up my old defunct podcast, it's called It Came From the Headlines. Warning, it's super dated. It's about 7 years old now. But occasionally there are some funny things. We had a whole sketch about people that are paid in the food of their nation of origin that I would love to turn back into a sketch at some point.
Oh, wow. Well, that just made me hungry. So thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks, Emily.
This is great. Thank you for listening to Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you enjoyed this podcast, the best thing you could do is help spread the word about it by rating and reviewing it wherever you get your pods and just sharing it. You know, the old-fashioned way, like saying to somebody, wow, I just did the best thing with my commute. Oh, what was it? It was listening to this podcast. It was so good. It was called Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. Oh, wow. Great. Thank you for telling me, Ted. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at EmilyMCWinter and Haunted as Hell on Instagram. Here's a good way to remember it. It sounds like haunted a shell.